Welcome back to another episode of the Adam Schefter Podcast. It's the Super Wild Card Weekend edition of the Adam Schefter Podcast. And on this week's podcast, we are going to be joined by the former NFL standout defensive back, James Hasty, who has devoted his recent years to developing the NNJ consulting firm, which is a company that is trying to help teams and organizations improve the way that hires are made throughout sports. And the NNJ consulting firm has produced reports for the NFL, for the Fritz Pollard Alliance. It's met with league officials at NFL meetings. But right now, it still doesn't have the breakthrough it needs. But James Hasty has tremendous insight on the candidates available in this coaching cycle and has his own recommendations as to who he would want as the head coach of his team. But before we get to that conversation with James Hasty, and before we go into some of the coaching news, first, I just wanted to point out that the game Sunday night between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers may have been the most compelling regular season game played not only this season, but in any recent season, and I would venture to say maybe in NFL history. Now, that's going back a long time, but when have we ever had one game that went to overtime that if there was a tie, another team would be eliminated? So as the Raiders and Chargers are playing, it was almost this mind game, this matrix of figuring out what each move meant and how it impacted either the Raiders, Chargers, or Steelers. It was a crazy mental exercise in addition to all the drama it produced. And I know that on Sunday morning, I'm usually getting up 4:35, 5:30, whatever it may be, not sleeping very much. And I will make an admission here, quite often during the Sunday night game, I will fall asleep and I wake up and the game's over and I'm like, who won? I didn't come close to falling asleep in that game. I took in every play. And not only did I take in every play, but I began tweeting during the game, which I never weigh in as games are going on, because that is a surefire way to make yourself look silly and foolish, which I almost did anyway, because I said, oh, now that the Raiders have a 12-point lead, that means that the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the way to the postseason, because 12 points in the fourth quarter, how does that wind up in a tie? Well, it did. And it did because Justin Herbert is an off-the-charts quarterback. I said earlier this season when we were in L.A., that I believe Justin Herbert's going to wind up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And people got all over me that I was anointing Justin Herbert to Canton, Ohio in his second season. Now, look, a lot has to happen for that to happen. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to produce. But there is not a quarterback in the game any more talented than Justin Herbert. And when you talk to the people that work in and around the Chargers organization, that have worked for that organization before in the past, they don't speak highly about Herbert. They rave about Herbert. Rave. Here's a text that I got Sunday night during the game as he was mounting that 15-point comeback. Did I tell you that Justin is the real deal? The Chargers won the lottery with him. He's the best quarterback skill-wise, hands down, that I've ever been around. This from a veteran coach. And so if anybody could have erased that lead, it would have been Justin Herbert. He did. But in the end, ultimately, the game wound up in a tie that I still cannot wrap my mind around, because the game was that gripping and that compelling. And I would venture to say it was the most compelling game of this season, the most compelling game from any recent season. And you could make the argument that it may be the most compelling game for all the circumstances involved that we've ever seen in the NFL regular season. As for the coaching cycle, also compelling. Who would have thought that the Miami Dolphins would make the move that they did on Monday morning, firing Brian Flores, a man who won 7 of his last 8 games this year, who swept the New England Patriots, the organization that helped groom him as a head coach. But as the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, said, the organization was not functioning the way he wanted. And so they opted to keep the people there in place while moving on from the head coach. And I don't believe Brian Flores will be out of work long. I think he'll be getting one of these head coaching jobs in this cycle, as he should, because he deserves it. He's experienced, he's productive, and I think he'll be probably better off his second go-round with another organization, whichever one decides to hire him. No big surprise, of course, in Chicago or Minnesota, them moving on from their head coaches. The surprise to me was both organizations moving on from their general managers, leaving both organizations as we tape this midday Tuesday in a spot where they are starting essentially from ground zero and working their way up. And it'll be interesting to see how the NFC North teams shake out their situations. To me, when I look at this, the candidate that may be most appealing to the most teams right now, I think we got a couple of guys. Brian Flores just jumps out to me as a guy that you have to go hire. And Dan Quinn, the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator, who I might add, the Dallas Cowboys don't want to lose. But he already has multiple requests. And if Dan Quinn wants, if he wants, he will come out of this hiring cycle with a head coaching job. He's that much in demand, that highly thought of, and we'll see whether Jerry Jones is willing to let him get away. That's going to be something to watch here. Now, a man that's got tremendous insight into the coaching cycle, the hiring process that teams engage in, is a player that I used to watch and marvel over. The former Chiefs Pro Bowl cornerback who the New York Jets once drafted, James Hasty, has gone out and developed his own consulting firm with all sorts of data on all sorts of coaching candidates. A man who could be a resource for many NFL teams if they've decided to use him and his company. James Hasty, the founder, the owner, the head of NNJ Consulting. Hello, James.
Hey, Adam. How you doing, man?
Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, man. My pleasure. My pleasure. How's it going?
James, I got to tell you, this is an honor for me. You know why?
Why is that?
First of all, I grew up a Jets fan. So you led the league in interceptions. I believe it was for the Jets, right?
Absolutely.
And you were their third round pick in 1988.
That's right. That's right.
And then I covered the Denver Broncos for 16 years. Now, I covered the Broncos at the height of your prowess when you and Dale Carter were, to this day, I think, maybe the single best cornerback tandem that I've ever seen on an NFL team.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I learned a lot when I had a chance to finally play with a guy like Dale Carter, because now I knew if I could just take care of my guy and limit the amount of targets, I knew Dale was going to be able to do his end of the deal. So that allowed us to let guys get loose like Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. And it was a huge opportunity to finally play on a very good team with somebody on the other side.
You were the physical corner, although he was pretty physical. You both guys were pretty physical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we both prided ourselves in getting after guys. I think I've heard Shannon talk glowingly about, you know, us back in the days and some of the guys like Terrell Owens and Randy Moss and those guys. Just to hear those guys acknowledge us, man, it means a great deal. I know those guys in the Hall of Fame and rightfully so, man. But again, for those guys to acknowledge our play, man, that means a great deal to me.
You probably won't like this, but the playoff game that you played in the divisional playoff round versus Denver in January of 1998, that the Broncos beat you guys when you had the number one seed, was one of the great playoff games that I've ever seen.
Yeah, man. The only thing that I can really recall is after 95 loss and 98 loss, I mean, I remember in particular being in the equipment room with Marcus Allen and Derek Thomas after the game, and we were all three of us were in this room locked with the lights off, man, just crying like babies, because it was just that emotionally tough for us and draining for us to know that we had the number one seed, Adam. We had the number one seed, and we couldn't get it done. And so, you know, naturally, man, those disappointments stay with you for a long, long time.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any eight-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature eight-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better. Because it has to be. Well, let's move ahead here to this offseason. Let's move ahead now to what you're currently doing. You are running the consulting firm NNJ, and we are now in a period. We are taping this on Friday, midday, before the rash of firings occur next week. This podcast will run next week. So by the time people are listening to this, there will have been firings that have occurred across the league. I'm predicting on Friday, I think we'll get about 7 head coaching openings this year. So tell me what NNJ does and how it could potentially impact this hiring cycle and how we could maybe see an improvement, which isn't saying much, but an improvement in diversity hirings at the NFL level.
We want to provide ownership with coaches that understand the value of teaching, but not just teaching one position. Being able to turn on the tape and have a coach tell multiple players at multiple positions, one coach, be able to tell those guys at multiple positions what they're doing wrong when you turn on that film. Tell me what I'm doing wrong at the wide receiver spot. Tell me what I'm doing wrong on the O-line, and evaluate that and be able to give that player positive feedback so that they know what they can do to improve their level of play. So this system is designed to say, if you have a diverse background, meaning if you're multidimensional, if you're like a Tom Landry or Vince Lombardi or Bill Belichick, these are Chuck Noll, these are all great coaches in the National Football League that could coach at multiple levels, whether it's high school, college, and pro, and could coach multiple positions. And let me remind you, none of them were quarterback coaches. So what you have is you're looking for a true teacher of the game. And that is what we're saying, that we're able to identify through our database of over 1,600 coaches, along with our tool where we're going to sit down and talk to the owners and say, hey, what is it that you're looking for? Tell us what those qualities are in the hiring of a coach that you deem important, and then allow us to go and find that coach for you. We can find that coach because we have the largest coaching database in the world right now.
So you have this database and you can present it to owners. Do people reach out to you? How does this work, James?
Well, in all confidentiality, we're working with current coaches right now, and we're helping them build their staff, right? We're saying, here's the guys that we deem are great at these positions, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and these various positions. Let's do this. Let's not go up and double up on saying, I'm going to hire a guy that has an offensive background and I'm already an offensive-minded coach. Like say I'm an offensive coordinator right now. It doesn't do us well to say that I'm going to go hire another offensive coordinator that has a great name. You need to go out and find a great defensive coordinator, right? Because we know that you're already a great offensive-minded coach. And this will, by doing it this way, Adam, we don't double up on one another. We don't cannibalize each other in this process. We disperse and we spread out and we give everybody fair opportunities to compete on this for these jobs. And that's ultimately what we want to do, is provide a fair opportunity for everyone across the board. Just a couple of weeks ago, we posted our top 10 coaches on our list, right? And we had guys like Eric Bieniemy, Todd Bowles, Joe Barry, Brian Daboll, Dave Tube with Kansas City, Terrell Austin with the Steelers, Leslie Frazier, Harold Goodwin, Josh McDaniels, Joe Wood, and Matt Eberflus. If you notice, those guys are black and white. They're not just black coaches. So what our system is able to do is we're able to identify the best coaches. Because the great John Wooden said it many times to me now, James, we're in the business of making sure that the process is fair. And this system allows us to identify the best candidates, not the best Black candidate.
So what has your company done? What has NNJ Consulting done that other head hunting firms, companies that teams hire and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars? It's crazy to me.
Right, it is crazy.
That goes on. What do you guys do that others haven't, James?
Here's what we know. Okay, let's look at what we know. What we know is based on the data that we have collected, 50% of the coaches in our database, I'm talking about historically, have failed. They have received an F grade. So if you go back and you calculate the dead money, and when we're talking about those coaches that were graded out as an F, think about how much money the NFL owners have lost on paying off these guys, firing these guys, that sort of stuff. Our goal is to talk to the owners. Have them tell us. Don't tell them. Have them tell us, Adam, what's important to them, right? Then what we do is we go and find those coaches that best fit them. Now, there won't be a perfect fit. There won't be a perfect fit. But let's say leadership, competency, salary, knowledge of the salary cap, understanding the culture is your top criteria as an owner. Now we're going to go and talk to the coaches and find out, do they have those same criteria in mind? And those that do, we're able to grade them on how closely they come to what the owners are looking for. And we can provide that breakdown to the owner so they can say, they can now say, oh, okay, I know what I'm getting with this guy. This guy doesn't have these qualities, maybe not so much, but he's strong in these other areas. And so I'm okay as an owner with settling on those criteria that may be slightly different. Does that make sense? It's giving the owners a chance to finally say, give me what I'm looking for, right? And then there's some people that are out there that said to-
it makes sense. Here's my I have a few questions.
Go ahead.
You mentioned a list of about 10 candidates.
Yes.
Is there one guy that you think deserves a job this hiring cycle more than anybody else?
I mean, everybody knows the answer to that question. It's Eric Bieniemy, right? It's not a hidden secret, man, right? This guy's been through countless email interviews. And I will tell you this, it's not me saying that he's worthy of it, it's the data. So anybody says, oh, they're just trying to pitch for this guy because he like, no, the data supports what I'm saying. It's there. It's factual. So it's not like I'm creating something. It's not my opinion.
What does the data say about him?
The data says he's more than worthy. The data says he's a B-plus coach. And in this day and age, it's phenomenal to be a B-plus coach at his age. Now, I will tell you that the Hall of Famers are the A coaches. The Bill Belichicks and the Nick Sabans and the Vince Lombardis and the Tom Landrys and the Chuck Knowles. The Don Shula's, they're all A's, okay? But there's a whole, and those guys are, that's a special group to be amongst. But he's doggone close. He's doggone close. So, I mean, you don't get a lot of, Pete Carroll's an A guy. Bill Belichick's an A guy. I mean, the way the system is designed is the more experience you put into the game, the more positions you coach, the more success you have, the higher you raise in the system. Right. It should be that way. The more time you put into something and the more successful you are at multiple tasks, you should be considered the best. And that is where Eric Bieniemy is at right now. Now, I will say these other guys that I've mentioned are very strong candidates as well. They're no slouches either now.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to make sure you understand that this is not just based, and the system doesn't have race in it at all. There's no race related. Data.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
But let me say this. The league's record on diversity hirings is atrocious.
It is.
It's atrocious. Like every year, the league tries to do things to improve it. And every year, frankly, to this point.
Yeah, it's been wrong. Let's put it bluntly, right? 50% of the coaches in the history of the league are considered Fs. Okay, so let's be clear about it. It hasn't worked. But that doesn't mean we can't get it right now. And we have a tool that allows us to track all of the coaches, right? And we'll know where they are in the pipeline. So some folks say, oh, there's no people in the pipe. That, trust me, there are people in the pipeline. We have what's called a plot graph that allows us to know who's in the pipeline at all times. So we'll know years in advance of these guys that are upcoming coaches because they're so successful. I was just talking to a coaching candidate the other day, and we were talking, and he said, man, there's this one young kid out there that he's really good as a quarterback coach. And I said, man, he's one of the kids that I promoted back, you know, in our college list. And I said, he's an outstanding young man. And it's a young man by the name of Tavita Pritchard at Stanford University. He's a phenomenal coach, upcoming coach. And this system allows us to identify people like that early on.
Let me ask this question. Where did you get the idea? What motivated you to start NNJ Consulting and go in a direction where there are weaknesses and failures?
I had an opportunity to coach high school football, and I coached some kids like Buda Baker and Miles Jack. And I promise you, man, our head coach, his name was Butch Gontrau. He lined up these major programs every year for us to play. And man, we would practice 3 times a day with these kids, 3 times a day to get these kids ready. And we beat a team called De La Salle that had a 151 game winning streak. Man, do you know how much time I spent coaching these young men to get ready for that game? The one thing that I told them was this. I said, look, the coach on the other sideline does not have a game plan in his hand. And if he doesn't have a game plan in his hand, typically he's going to be emotional when he makes calls. And I said, us having our game plan in our hand and you guys understanding what the game plan is all about to win this game is why we will win this game. And we ended up beating that team that had a 9-year winning streak. The point of it all is I learned how important certain coaches' roles were on a coaching staff. Everybody's roles aren't the same, right? Everybody's got different tasks, but some are more important than others. And I, from that conclusion that I drew, that the more responsibility that you take on, the more valuable you are to that particular team. And that is how the idea for me, when I was sitting around and I watched and saw what happened this last hiring cycle, I said, there's a way to change this. And it's all about what have you coached and how successful have you been at what positions you've coached. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it stands out to me. You coached Buda Baker and Miles Jack in high school, James?
Man, those two guys. Let me tell you something. I said, Buda Baker, we were in an all league meeting and they were voting on the kids and Buda was a sophomore. And they said, well, I don't think this kid, Buda Baker, he should get, you know, all league honors because, you know, he's just a sophomore. I said, let me tell you guys something. You guys don't have to vote for this kid if you don't want to, because this kid right here, he's going to be playing on Sunday. And the room went silent. The room went silent. And sure enough, Buda Baker was first team all league that year. I mean, phenomenal player, phenomenal athlete. Miles was a freak himself at his size. He's on the 4x100 team. So he's incredibly gifted and talented. And it was just an honor to coach these young men. And it taught me a lot about the game, how to coach the game.
Well, if you could find coaching candidates the way you could find high school players and coach them up, I have no doubt that NNJ Consulting is going to be a huge success across the league. And every owner should be depending upon you, James.
Well, look, if for me, it's about talking to the great John Wooten. He's always like, James, look, affirmative action. When someone makes a word, a statement like affirmative action to me, it makes my skin crawl. He says, because at the end of the day, I want to be judged for the guy that Paul Brown drafted in 1959. He says, Paul Brown trusted me enough as a player to allow me to take the plays into the huddle. Now, you know, you can screw up a play going into the huddle if you're not careful. So he had a guy like John Wooten running the plays in to the offensive huddle and telling the guys what the play was, to the quarterback, of course. And if John Wooten can understand what this system is all about. And it's a system of fairness. It's not a system of affirmative action. It's a system where everybody gets judged based on their merits, their true merits. If John Wooden believes in this system and knows it's what the league needs, man, that's all I need. I just hope that the owners will understand that the number one goal for us as former players, myself and Coach Wooden, is we just want what's best for the league. We just want what's best for the league. It's our league, the league that we played in.
Well, James, I appreciate you taking the time today. I can see why you were successful as a cornerback. I can see why you were successful as a high school football coach. And I can see why you are and are going to be even more successful running NNJ Consulting. Thank you very much for the time today. It was a pleasure and an honor to get to speak with you, James.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
So there is James Hasty with a ringing endorsement for the Chiefs offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. And the Chiefs will be in action this upcoming weekend. But before we get to the Chiefs game, let's go game by game with a couple of storylines that exist with the help of ESPN's ace researcher, Evan Kaplan, who helped come up with some of these notes on all of these games that we'll be witnessing on Super Wildcard Weekend. And we'll start in order with the Saturday matchup, the Raiders and the Bengals. It's the third time that these teams have met in the playoffs. The Raiders have won the previous two games. And I really believe that the Bengals are a real Super Bowl threat. I didn't stumble or say something. I think they're a Super Bowl threat. At some point, with the talent they have, if they stay healthy, they're going to break through. And this may be a bit premature. This might not be the year for the Bengals to do that. But that team with that quarterback and those wide receivers and that running back is poised to give a lot of teams problems. Now, the Bengals' last playoff win was in the 1990 wild card round against the Houston Oilers, which represents the longest active drought without a playoff win in the NFL. So that's saying something that they are, in my mind, a Super Bowl contender, but that's how I view them. And how about what the Raiders have done this year, overcoming everything that they have, the firing of John Gruden, the loss of Henry Ruggs to a situation that is unspeakably sad in every which way, and the hiring of the interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, to lead this team forward. Just very impressive, the resiliency to overcome all that and overcome all that adversity. And it will be the first playoff start in Derek Carr's career, because the Raiders lost in the 2016 wildcard round game at Houston against the Texans in a game I was doing the sideline reporting for. Carr didn't start that game. I remember Connor Cook playing that game. I remember Matt McGloin playing that game, if my memory serves me correctly, but Derek Carr didn't. So this will be Derek Carr's first playoff game as the Bengals attempt to get their first playoff win since beating the Oilers back in 1990. And then we get the Patriots and Bills, and we know what's gone on between those two teams this season. We saw New England going to Buffalo on a night I won't forget. The wind was incredible. The cold was brutal. I've even had people within the Bills organization tell me that that was as cold as it's been for a game there, and they don't know how long. It'll be the third time these two teams meet this season. The Bills won both home playoff games last season versus the Colts in the wild card round, the Ravens in the divisional round before they lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. It's the Patriots' first playoff game since 2019. That was the last game that Tom Brady played for New England when they lost that game 20-13. Remember that game? Everybody does. And the Patriots haven't lost two straight playoff games since losing in the Super Bowl to the Giants the first time, and then to the 2010 divisional round game versus the Jets, where Rex Ryan led his team and won there. It's the Patriots' first road game in the wild card round since the 1998 playoffs, 2 years before Bill Belichick became the head coach. We go on to Sunday. Eagles-Buccaneers rematch from an earlier game this season. And Tampa Bay's just wounded right now, right? Chris Godwin gone for the year. Antonio Brown doing podcasts. Mike Evans is back. They should have Leonard Fournette back. It's the fifth all-time playoff meeting between the Buccaneers and Eagles. I remember them playing an NFC Championship game one time in 2002, where the Buccaneers won that game, an impressive win. And Tom Brady, of course, has 34 playoff wins in his career, more than twice as many as the next closest quarterback. Think about that. He won 34 playoff games. Joe Montana, the great Joe Montana, has won 16. So Tom Brady will be trying to add on to that in what is the Eagles' first playoff game since the 2019 wildcard round for Seattle, a game that the Eagles lost when DK Metcalf, the wide receiver they passed up on, came up big against Philadelphia. The Eagles have lost two straight playoff games after they had a four-game playoff win streak during their Super Bowl season. Sunday afternoon, we get what I think is an incredible matchup, the 49ers and Cowboys. It harkens us back to Pat Summerall and John Madden on the call. Two storied franchises, a great matchup, and it should be just tremendous. It's the eighth time that these two teams are meeting in the playoffs, which is tied for the second most in the Super Bowl era. It's their first playoff matchup since the 1994 NFC Championship game, which I was at, which the 49ers won to advance to the Super Bowl against the San Diego Chargers. And it's the Cowboys' first playoff game since the 2018 divisional round game at the Rams, a game the Cowboys lost 30-22. Remember that game well. The Cowboys haven't played in an NFC Championship game since 1995, but they are good enough to go this year. It's a loaded roster, but this is a tough San Francisco team. I watched them on Sunday beat the Rams. Deebo Samuel, hats off to that guy. Man, much respect. He is a man on the football field. And for all the talk there was about Jimmy Garoppolo not being in San Francisco this year, for as much as some people doubted that, kept saying he was going to be their quarterback this year, they can't be in this spot without Jimmy G. Jimmy G's taking him here. He's imperative to their success. And if it were me, I would seriously look at bringing him back next year and having him as my quarterback then. All right, Sunday night, we got the Steelers and Chiefs, the third all-time playoff meeting between those two teams. Who would have thought that Ben Roethlisberger would be alive to play this postseason? It's a gift, right? It's the sprinkles on an already great ice cream sundae that he wasn't expecting to have, but here it is. He makes the postseason. And keep in mind, Big Ben and the Steelers have lost three straight playoff games dating back to the 2016 AFC Championship game. And Ben's never lost four straight playoff games, but what a task to go into Kansas City to try to beat the Chiefs in the opening wild card round. The Chiefs are just a tremendous team, and they're rolling right now. The Chiefs beat the Steelers 36-10 in week 16 in Kansas City this season. Pittsburgh faces a tall order trying to win there. And of course, Monday night, the first Monday night wildcard matchup in NFL history. We will be in Los Angeles for the Cardinals and the Rams. It's the second all-time playoff meeting between these two teams. Matthew Stafford, a lot to prove Monday night, a lot on the line. He's 0-3 in the playoffs during his career, and this is his first playoff start since the 2016 wildcard round against the Seahawks. Cardinals also have a lot on the line. It's Kyler Murray's first playoff game. And in the last 20 years, the number one overall picks are 3-6 in their first playoff start. A guy who did win his first playoff start last year, Baker Mayfield, last season. And this is what's great about the postseason. It just comes, and if your team loses, it's sudden and it's over. And there are ramifications, right? Some of these teams, if they lose, will their organizations be upset with the head coach? Will there be any fallout? Will there be any ramifications? Can Rich Bisaccia in Vegas put together a postseason run that would make Mark Davis, the owner, want to consider him as the head coach? I mean, all kinds of storylines. That's the great part about the postseason, which extends into Monday night, which has never happened before. Should be something to watch.
Before I let you go, please check out Swaggo and Perk, a new ESPN podcast led by its namesake host, former NFL veteran and analyst Marcus Spears Swaggo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins. With new episodes every Tuesday morning, Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their lives, career journeys with can't-miss conversations, and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swaggo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, The Book of Boba Fett is coming to Disney Plus on December 29th, but starting today, you can watch the trailer for this thrilling Star Wars adventure of the legendary bounty hunter Boba Fett and mercenary Fennec Shand. Follow the journey as the two navigate the galaxy's underworld to stake their claim on the territory once ruled by Jabba the Hutt. That's The Book of Boba Fett. Check out the trailer on Disney Plus starting today.
All right, I want to thank the head of NNJ Consulting, James Hasty, for joining us and sharing his insights. My great producer, Christina Buswell for making sure that this podcast is put together in the best possible way each week. And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning into another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week when we look back at the wild card round and begin to look ahead to one of the great weekends in sports, the NFL divisional playoff round. Enjoy the games this week, everybody. And until next week, be well and stay safe.